Unit 3. Listening focus. Activity 2.
My guest today is Dan Johnson, a scientist who does research into longevity, why some types of people tend to live longer than others. Thank you for joining us this morning, Dan. I'm going to start with a question about my own family background. Both my grandfather and great-grandfather were in their 90s when they died, and I like to think I've inherited their long life genes. What are my chances of making a century?
I wish I could look into a crystal ball and tell you the answer to that question. Sure, if I had a grandfather and a father who'd lived into their 90s, I'd be hoping science would tell me that I had a good chance of doing as well or better. But in fact, that's just wishful thinking. Sometimes I think that the appeal of the genetic explanation lies in our desire to see matters taken out of our hands. I'd go even further and say that many people use it as an excuse not to make basic lifestyle changes, preferring to rely on the belief that because they have family members who've lived into their 80s and 90s, they will too, regardless of whatever harmful habits they might have, such as smoking or not getting enough exercise. They live in the false hope that their genes will protect them. I hate to say it, but having family members who've lived long lives doesn't mean that you will too.
Okay, but my great-grandfather is unusual, don't you think? Or am I wrong about that too?
Sorry, but yes, you are. I always tell people to take a good look at photographs from the late 19th and early 20th centuries. There are plenty of elderly people in them, so it really wasn't so very unusual to live a long life. I think I know where the confusion comes from, because if we look at the average age at death, it's much lower than it is today. But that's because without antibiotics, everyone was more vulnerable to diseases, particularly babies and children. But if you did happen to make it into adulthood, you had almost as good a chance of living a long life as we do today.
And life was a lot less stressful then, so that would have helped too.
Do you think so? Well, granted, a miserable job you dislike causes the wrong kind of stress. Even those of us who have jobs we enjoy, comfortable homes and families who care about us, experience stress. But much of that stress we experience comes from our own minds. As I see it, to a large extent, it's under our control. In the past, external factors were far more important. Think about all the wars, famines and epidemics, and the back-breaking work people had to do. An ordinary soldier in the First World War, or a young woman working as a maid in one of those big houses, would have suffered far greater levels of stress than most of us do. Given the choice between the stresses of the past and contemporary stresses, I can tell you that I'd take the boring office job any day.
Okay, but there's a common belief that stress is a factor and that laid-back people live longer. Is that true?
I wouldn't even go so far as to say that. What if you like your job, even if it is tough, and enjoy the challenges it presents? That's more likely to lead to a longer life than sitting around doing nothing and getting incredibly bored. But don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about being a success rather than being a loser. People who work hard tend to live longer, but it's not because they're hugely successful and making a lot of money. What we found is that there's a relationship between being hardworking and conscientious and being cautious and sensible about health. If you're responsible and reliable in your professional life, you'll have the same attitude to your health. For example, you'll probably avoid eating a lot of junk food and opt for healthier choices, but you won't veer to the other extreme of starving yourself either. And that's another important part of the record that needs to be set straight. Just because animals on a very low-calorie diet live longer, it doesn't necessarily mean that we do. Starvation dieting is disastrous for your health.
I seem to be getting all the factors wrong. But surely being happily married does lead to a longer life, doesn't it?
It depends. Our research shows that for men, being married is closely related to being happy and healthy. And if a man is happy with a relationship and healthy, his partner tends to be as well. I know I was more than a little disconcerted to discover that when the boot is on the other foot, that is, if a woman is happily married and her partner is not so happy, then it won't have such a positive impact on the length of her life.
Oh.
This strikes me as rather unfair. It doesn't matter how close they are in age, a woman always worries about her partner and feels responsible for him. Mm-hmm. The results of our study are really making me reassess my own relationships and behaviour.
What about widows? I've read they often live longer than women whose partners are still alive.
Yes, that's true. But the big question is why this should be the case. Let me tell you what I think could be an explanation. Women are fortunate in that they're often better at establishing and maintaining strong friendship networks than men are. Once women are on their own, they can enjoy and find support in these networks more than they could when their partners were still alive. This is just a theory, of course, but it's one that seems to make a lot of sense. I was in Japan last year, and almost every tourist site I visited was full of happy groups of elderly women, who I assumed were widows. I saw men with their wives, but I didn't see any groups of elderly men doing this kind of thing. I mean, going on day trips together. This is just anecdotal evidence, of course, but I think it does give credence to my theory that women's friendships contribute to them living longer once they are widows.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Dan. I've been keeping track of all the beneficial factors, and I don't think I'm doing too badly.
That's good to hear. Thank you for having me on the programme.